Since last week I was challenged to study a particular topic of Scripture, I'm going to be turning you to three passages today. And I would like to talk this morning about our blessed hope. Have you ever hoped for something? I mean, you really hoped for something? Remember as a child when you hoped that Christmas would come? And maybe you hoped for a particular gift? Or it was a birthday, there's something you wanted so bad you couldn't wait? Some of you men I know might be sitting in a deer blind sometime and you're just hoping the big one will come along. I remember years ago going to visit Pastor Mike Verway. He told me, John, he told me of this place where he's got these cottages and this lake where there's these great big fish and it's wonderful fishing. And so I was hoping that I would get to go there and fish and catch something bigger than a minnow. And so he and I went fishing most of that week. And I think that week we never put one bass in the boat. But I was hoping we would. And then I hear you go out there and you get these fish as big as the boat. But in any case, I remember casting out that line hoping that I would get a bite. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. This last week, I went and watched a volleyball game at the tournament just yesterday. Our girls were hoping to win. Our guys played in a basketball tournament and they were hoping to win. Some of you may be hoping for a new job. Some of you may hope for any job. Some of you may be hoping for a pay raise. I remember as a boy growing up as a preacher's kid in a little country church, every year something would come in the mail. And my mother would fill it out. And we would always mail it back in. And I said to her, "We've never won. Why would you do that?" You know what that is? What is it that comes every year in the mail? Publishers what? Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. And so we had a deal, you know, we had in that little town, we had to go to the post office and pick up your mail. And it was about a quarter mile down the street. And so she said, "Well, you can have half of anything that comes in the mail today." And so, man, I was always hoping we'd win the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes. We never did. Did you ever hope for something so bad you just couldn't wait? You might have lost sleep over it. I remember when I bought my first car, paid for it. They were getting it ready, and the next day I was to pick it up, my first car. I think I might have lost sleep over that. I know of one person that was hoping for Christmas presents so badly that she snuck in and opened every present before Christmas and then wrapped them all back up so nobody would know. Matter of fact, she's sitting here today, but I'll never tell who that is. In Titus, did I turn you there yet? Turn to the book of Titus. In Titus chapter 2, we're going to read 15 verses, but in verse 13 it says, "Looking for that blessed hope." Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we don't often do this in church because we're on the radio, because it's going to be broadcast on TV, and they won't be able to hear you. But I have a question for you. I'm wondering if maybe I'll get some different answers. I don't know. I have a question for you. As a believer, as someone that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Paul says to Titus that we're to be looking for our blessed hope. What is your understanding? Can you give it to me in a word or two words? What is the believer's blessed hope? What would you say? Anybody got an answer? Shout it out. Salvation in Christ, somebody said. Somebody else, what is our blessed hope? Heaven is our blessed hope. Someone else? Christ's return. Our blessed hope. Somebody else, what does that mean to you? Everlasting life. We're supposed to be looking for our blessed hope, everlasting life. Anybody else? Is that it? Pardon me? To be blessed.
What is our blessed hope? You know, I'm thinking that maybe we use the word hope today different than how it was used in the Scripture. Because if you ask the boys going into a ball game, are you going to win tomorrow night? They say, well, we hope so. You ask the girls going into a volleyball game, are you going to win tomorrow night? Well, we hope so. So you ask us, you know, do you have eternal life? Well, I hope so. Is that what it is? I hope so. You know, salvation in Jesus Christ, do you know for sure you're a born-again believer today? You say, well, I hope so. Is that what it is? I'm wondering if this word hope, H-O-P-E, was used differently in the Scripture than how we use it today. And I wanted to study this phrase, our blessed hope. Follow with me as I read in Titus chapter 2. He said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged or the older women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. There's a lot we could teach on here. Amen, men? There's a lot here that the women are supposed to be teaching the younger women about treating their husbands and their children. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, we should live righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of all good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The Apostle Paul was writing to the young preacher Titus. In this chapter 2, he was writing to instruct him and the people in his church. In this chapter 2, he's talking about the character and the behavior of members, people in the pew, members in the church. One of the things he said here is they're to be looking for that blessed hope. Notice the instruction that is in this chapter. In verse 1, he says, speak thou. In verse 4, he said, teach the young women. In verse 6, he says, exhort. In verse 9, he says, exhort servants. In verse 12, he says, teaching. In verse 13, he says, looking. And in verse 15, he says, proclaiming. There's something the people in the pew, they're supposed to do. And this is instruction to people or to members in the church. Well, I wondered, what is our blessed hope? And so I looked at that. I studied that some this week. The New Testament uses this word hope many, many times. Just a few of those times in 1 Timothy 1, Christ Jesus is our hope. In Colossians 1, verse 5, it says the gospel is our hope. In Hebrews 6, it says, hope is the anchor of our soul. Whatever hope is. In Romans 8, it says, we are to hope for what we do not see. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, we are not to be like those that have no hope. And here in Titus, it says, we're to be looking for that blessed hope. So I wanted to answer the question, what is our blessed hope. If this chapter in Titus was written by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Titus and the people in the church, and if it's something that they were supposed to look for, then we better know what it is we're to be looking for. So what is our blessed hope? Well, I'll tell you, hope, I believe it is not just a wish or not just a desire. In checking this word out in the original, the word hope literally means, I don't know if this makes sense or not to you, but it means to confide, or it means to trust in. It means the word confident. Now, when somebody asks me, are you going to win the ball game tomorrow night? And I say, I hope so. Does that come across to you as being confident? And that's why I contend the way we use the word hope today is different than this word hope in Scripture. This word hope in God's Word means confident. It is a confident expectation. So if I ask you again, what does the word hope mean? Looking for our blessed hope. What does the word hope mean? It means confident expectation. It's something I expect to happen, and it is going to happen. Confident expectation. Will you say that with me? Confident expectation. Now, I'm going to ask you again, what does the word hope mean? It is a... So you and I ought to be looking for a very confident expectation. We are confident. We are persuaded. It is, this word hope, it is a cherish. We are to cherish a desire with an expectation of fulfillment. It's going to happen. It's not just wishing for something, but with certainty, we know that it will happen. It will happen. With assurity. We know that for sure. Now, with that definition of the word hope, you and I, as believers, we're to be looking for a confident expectation. Didn't I say that's the word hope? So what is it that you know for sure is going to happen? Can you give me something? The return of Jesus Christ. Is that our blessed hope then? We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ with a confidence, folks, that it is going to happen. You believe that? Do you really believe that? Or do you just hope so? See, the word hope means you know it's going to happen. Because the word hope means two words. What? Confident expectation. If that's all there is then to our blessed hope, the return of Christ, maybe that isn't. Is there anything else that you know for sure, confidently, it's going to happen? Not just the return of Christ, but somebody said eternal life. What's eternal life? Come on, talk to me. What's eternal life? Living forever with God in heaven. Just as sure as I'm standing here, folks, there is life after this life, if you believe it all in God's Word. You and I are going to live somewhere forever. That's going to happen. Now, can you have a blessed hope in that? Is it possible for you to have a confident expectation? Yes, it is. You see, it's not just wishing for something, but it's with certainty, knowing it will happen. Well, salvation, I believe, and this word hope are inseparable. I'm going to turn you to three passages today. We're going to come back to Titus, but I want you to turn to the second passage now. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 24. Now, this verse may surprise some of you. especially some of you good Baptists. Okay, here we go. You ready? Romans chapter 8, verse 24. It says, for we are saved by... Does it say faith? Hello, are you with me? For we are saved by what? Romans 8, 24, by divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wow. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, says that we folks, we are saved by hope. Well, I thought we were saved by faith. Well, what is hope? A confident expectation. You see, hope is faith. You say, well, how can you say hope is faith? Well, not only is this word hope, does it mean faith, it also means trust. Or it means a confidence. A confidence in the promises of God. If we are, you've heard this and you've said this before, we are saved by faith, therefore we ought to live a life of faith. We are saved by faith, therefore we ought to live by faith. We are saved by hope, Paul says in Romans, therefore we ought to live a life what? Oh, I lost you. We are saved by hope, therefore we ought to live a life of hope. You and I ought to live a godly Christian life, one of, not just of faith, but of hope. What does that mean? A confident expectation. What does that mean, folks? As we go through our life, we can live our life claiming and naming and knowing the promise of God is sure. Is that cause for rejoicing? Well, that's the word blessed. Back in Titus chapter 2, he said we're to be looking for our blessed hope. That word blessed is happy. Happy. And let me tell you, the promises of God are blessed. It ought to cause great rejoicing in our life. If we're saved by hope, we ought to live by hope. Now, I don't want to confuse you. Yes, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 is still in my Bible. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith. But what is faith? Is it not a belief of the heart? How does one get saved? For by grace are ye saved through a belief of the heart, through faith. Well, what is hope? It's a belief. It's a confident expectation. It's a belief of the heart. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and, what's the next phrase? Believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, by faith we trust in Christ. This word hope, it means trust. When we look for our blessed hope, we're talking about the fact we trust Him to keep His promise. By faith, we trust in Christ. Hope means trust. By faith, we believe in Jesus Christ. Hope means to believe. By faith, we have confidence that Jesus Christ is coming again. Let me ask you all a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? How do you know that? Well, the Bible says it, but do you believe it? Or you just hope so? Well, hope in Scripture is a confident expectation. It is a belief of the heart. So do you believe that Jesus will return? Yes or no? And how do you know that? Let me tell you this. You can't know that. But by faith. In believing what God says in His Word is true. By faith we have confidence that He's coming again. And this word hope, it means to have confidence. So we trust, we believe, we have confidence. That's all about salvation. That's the word hope. The word hope is trust, believe, have confidence. The word faith and hope go hand in hand. I believe they're synonymous of each other. I said I was going to turn you to three passages. I'd like you to turn to my third passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What is the certainty of Christian hope? How sure can we be? Paul had taught the Thessalonians the fact that Jesus Christ would return and take His believers with Him to heaven. He taught them that. Now, Paul had to leave Thessalonica because of persecution. The pressure was so bad for these new Christians in Thessalonica that they were being tortured for their faith. And in the torture, some of them had even been killed and died. Now in this young, new, baby church that the Apostle Paul had started and preached, and he taught them about the imminent, meaning it could happen any time, he taught them Jesus Christ was coming back. Not only is He Lord and Savior, not only did He die a substitutionary death on the cross for you and for me and for them, not only did He die and was He buried and rose again the third day, not only was He in heaven preparing a place for them, but Paul had taught these brand new believers that Jesus Christ was going to return and take them home to heaven with Him. And they believed that that was going to happen in their lifetime. And now because of persecution, because they believed in Christ, some of them had been killed. Some of them had died. Their bodies literally were in the grave. These Thessalonians then were confused. Did Paul lie to them? Jesus hadn't returned, and what would happen to these people that had been put down in the grave? Were they going to miss out on the resurrection of Christ? They were confused. They didn't understand. So Paul writes to them to help them understand. And we pick up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, looking at verse 13. Paul writes to these new baby Christians. Now, you and I normally hear this passage when? I've used it and I've heard it at the homegoing of a Christian. At a funeral service. But folks, this isn't just a funeral passage. This is correcting, this is answering the question, what happens to Christians that die? And their bodies in the grave, are they going to miss out on the resurrection? After all, Paul, you told us Jesus was coming back. My friend's going to miss it. Paul says in verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no, there's that word, that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep, which are dead, in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This isn't just my saying. God the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, we shall not stop them that have already died. He says, we will not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will what? They will rise when? First, before we get to go. then and only at that time, only after then, only after they rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, folks, this ought to be great cause for comfort for you. Now let me say this, thinking of the certainty of our blessed hope. One of the great facts of Christian faith is that we have hope. What is hope? We have confidence. When our loved ones in Christ are taken away from us in death, we have hope. And I think as believers, we often forget because we don't experience it. The hopelessness that is experienced by those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior when a loved one is taken from them. You see, there's no hope in the future life apart from Jesus Christ. A Christian has a wonderful assurance. We have a confidence. We have a hope. By the way, what's the word hope mean? Confident expectation. As a Christian, we have a wonderful assurance. We have a wonderful confidence. We have a wonderful, confident expectation that after this life, there's going to be a glorious, unending existence in the presence of God. Folks, that's our blessed hope. At least that's part of it. How certain is our hope? How sure is that? Right here in 1 Thessalonians, verse 14, I believe we have the grounds for our hope. It says, if we believe that Jesus died, and let me read it to you this way, and if we believe that Jesus rose again, if we really believe Jesus died, if we really believe that He rose again, and if we've really accepted Him to be our Savior, then folks, we have grounds for our blessed hope. In other words, what he is saying here in verse 14 is the precious truth concerning the coming of Christ for His own is just as certain as the central doctrine of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus rose again the third day? Do you believe that He's in heaven preparing a place for you? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He even says that where I am, what? There ye may be also. Do you believe Jesus died for you? Yes, I hope you do. Do you believe Jesus rose again the third day? I hope you do. Then let me say this. Just as sure as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, just as much as you believe that, you can believe, and it's equally important, that Jesus is coming again. That is our blessed hope. That gives us cause for great rejoicing. Turn back with me to that passage in Romans chapter 8. I talked to Pastor Chris. I said to him this week, I said, have you ever studied this term, our blessed hope? And of course, you know, being the man of the word that he is, he said, oh, yes. You know, I said, have you ever studied that and researched that? He said, yes. He's way beyond me, light years. I went to him last night. I saw him and I said, you know what? I was studying this. I can't bring it all in one message. It's too deep. All I can do is touch on it. I'm turning back to this because there's so much in Romans chapter 8, we can't even do it justice. But let me show you something else concerning our blessed hope in Romans chapter 8. In verse 18, it says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What is he talking about? Let me read that again. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Shall be revealed where? In us. Let me say this, folks. There's coming a day. There's coming a day when Jesus returns and His glory is going to be revealed where? In us. What is that talking about? Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now that sounds like a mouthful. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption or sin into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I want you to see verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. In verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also. What? We groaneth, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Let me just say this. Verse 18, the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's coming a day when His glory is going to be revealed in us. Verse 19 speaks of our earnest expectation, but not ours, but the whole universe. Verse 23 says, those of us that have the Spirit, who's that? Born-again believers. It says in verse 23 that we groan within ourselves. By the way, I got to tell you this. You're a born-again believer if you have the Spirit, and you're not a born-again believer if you don't have the Spirit. Those of us, he says, who have the Spirit. You know, the moment you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in and took up personal residence in your life. Matter of fact, there are some people that are still praying for the Spirit. You want to mark a verse in your Bible? Look at the same chapter, verse 8, but look at verse 9. Chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. I've got this underlined and I got it highlighted in yellow, the next part of this verse. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? You're not a Christian. Folks, you don't have to pray for the Spirit if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior. He's already there. Amen? Do you get that? That was not even an amen on that one. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to pray for the Spirit to come in because He's already there. Amen? Do you believe it? So in verse 23 it says, those of us who have the Spirit, Christians, we groan within ourselves. There's something, what is this groaning? We're yearning for the day. Let me just say this, there is coming a day when you and I will be made complete in Jesus. And it uses the word adoption there. Yes, we have been adopted. We've been placed into the family of God as adult sons with all the rights and privileges. But one day, we're going to be living with our daddy. One day, we're going to be reunited with our family. One day, our redemption is going to be complete. This is our blessed hope. We have a confident expectation. We have a promise of God that Jesus Christ is going to return. We groan within ourselves right now. But when He returns, we're going to be released. Released from what? You and I have got the Spirit. But let me tell you this. We've been born again, but we're trapped in a sinful and weak body. And one day the Lord's going to return and we're going to be released from this body. Sin, our body, is going to then be untouchable and untemptable by sin. Right now, your body is very touchable by sin. Your body is very temptable by sin. You and I as believers, we still sin every day. But there's coming a time when my redemption is going to be complete in and through Jesus Christ. When is that? That's when He returns for us. And we're given a heavenly body. What a day that's going to be. You realize one day, folks, you and I as believers, those of us that have the Spirit, we groan within ourselves right now because we don't want to sin, but we still give in to it. There's coming a day when we'll never give in to it again. That's our blessed hope. We don't know for sure what that body's going to be like. 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Jesus Christ had a resurrected body, and so will we. What a day that will be. So what is our blessed hope? It's a confident expectation in the return of Jesus Christ, knowing with confidence that when He returns, we're going to be released. We're going to be sin-free, and our redemption will be made complete. When will it happen? Now turn back to that text in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." This word, looking, we're to be looking for. It means eagerly expecting this promise. It's eagerly expecting. Are you eagerly expecting the return of the Lord? When will it be? It'll be at that glorious appearing of the great God Jesus Christ. Oh, I wish I had more time. Because in the original, this reads this way. It literally reads, "and the appearing of the glory of our great God." Now in verse 13, it says, "looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing." It's not just that the appearing is a glorious event. In the original, it says, "and the appearing of the glory of our great God." You see, glory is not just a description of an event, but it's a personification of Jesus Christ. You say, what does that mean? Well, when Christ first appeared, when He first came to this earth, Christ was grace personified. He came as a meek, a mild, a kind, a gentle shepherd, a Savior, a carpenter. Let me tell you this, folks. In His second appearing, He is going to be not grace personified, but glory personified. He's going to come in all of His majesty, in all of His splendor. Perhaps we will see Him as Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of Him at the Transfiguration. Perhaps we will see Him as John saw Him in chapter 1 of Revelation, as the Ancient of Days with the fiery eyes. This we do know for sure. When He comes in all of His glory, our redemption will be complete. The curse on this earth will be lifted. Our faith, our hope will become sight. We've learned the meaning of our blessed hope. We've learned when the hope will be completed. Finally, if you and I are earnestly looking for this blessed hope, should it have any impact on us? And how might that impact us? Three things. It ought to be a great cause for encouragement. It ought to be a great cause for encouragement. It ought to be a great cause for righteousness. And it ought to be a great cause for evangelism. Let me tell you this. By way of encouragement, we will have resurrected bodies. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? You know what it means to me? No more diabetes. Is that going to be an encouragement for some of you? Some of you, I know that will be. No more heart disease. No more cancer. No more high blood pressure. No more achy joints. No more hip and knee replacements. No more. No more struggle with disease. No more loneliness. No more despair. When Jesus Christ comes again and we're given our heavenly body, that ought to cause great encouragement to every one of us today. You ought to be encouraged that it is coming. It's not just a blessed hope, as we might think the word hope. It's a promise. It is an earnest what? Earnest what? Expectation, folks. It's going to happen. You're going to have a heavenly body. Amen? That ought to be great cause for rejoicing. Let me say this, an encouragement It should cure the troubled heart. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what trial or difficulty you're going through now. I don't know what sin is so easily besetting you or me. I don't know the temptation or the trial that comes your way that bothers you and hangs on to you. But folks, there's coming a day, it's all going to be over. When? When we see Christ. When He comes again. That is our blessed hope. I was looking for a song in our hymn book. I found out it wasn't there. You know the song. And there it is. The song, I believe, instead of me singing a solo, you could sing it with me. And I've got the words for you there. Will you sing it with me just right in your seat? I want you to think of our blessed hope. The fact that not only is it Jesus returning to take us home, but that we're going to be we'll have a resurrected body. And then we can sing the chorus of this song, singing with me.